Hello, and welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Now grab a cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy some more of Adventure Number 8 by Jim Chappelle, and then we'll get on with today's show. Welcome to another Community Conversations. Today, our hosts are me, Phil Huff, and Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. Hi, good morning, Phil. How are you?
I am wonderful. The fall rains, for some reason, are perking up my spirits. Maybe it's because of all the smoke that was in the air before them.
I think so. And the thing that was perking my spirits last night was listening to a serenade of coyotes out in my hayfield. They're so lovely to hear in the middle of the night. They got me up, and then I had a beautiful view of the planet Mars. So even though I was up in the middle of the night, it was worth it, Phil.
Yeah, and you know what? The leaves are starting to turn. We took a hike into the higher country, and the huckleberry brush is all red and yellow, and the understory is coming alive. It's fall.
Yes, it is. And it should be a good one, especially with rain. Well, Phil, we've got a great topic for the beginning of fall, because with fall, we all know, comes more unpredictable weather, sometimes rain, sometimes cool weather. And so we decided that we would talk about fall cool weather recreation opportunities. And our guests to help us with that today are Tammy Campbell. She's the branch executive at Lighthouse YMCA. Hello, Tammy.
Hello.
Good to hear you. And we've also got Charles Mortensen, who is the owner of Syringa Cyclery. Which is a bike shop here in Sandpoint. Hello, Charles.
Good morning.
Yes, and finally, Gary Scruggs. He's a board member for the Panhandle Pickleball Club. Hello, Gary.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, great.
Julie, before we start, I've got to say, this is a momentous occasion. I know you've been wanting to have someone on other than yourself to talk about pickleball.
I know. I've turned into kind of a pickleball fanatic, haven't I? Love to talk pickleball.
Well, this is exciting.
All right, well, let's just get into it. I thought we'd start with Tammy. Tammy, the YMCA always has a lot going on, indoors and outdoors, and especially in the fall. Why don't you fill us in on the many, many programs that are offered?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, thanks, Julie, so much for having me on, because we have quite a bit going on. Even during these kind of tough times, we've managed to create a really safe space for everybody and been able to social distance, but still offer a lot of programming, especially for kids. You know, it's been really difficult year for everybody. And now that the weather's getting a little colder, it's nice to offer some new programs. So For kids, we have something that goes on every day for the young ones. At 2 o'clock, we do Fit for Kids or Zumba Kids. We also have Fairy Tale Ballet coming up. Taekwondo swim lessons are about to kick off in October as well. We've also changed our child watch to something called Discovery Zone, and we've broadened the ages for that because, you know, we know these kids are getting out of school much earlier, and, you know, they need a place to go, and we have Wi-Fi here, so if kids need, you know, to come in and do homework, we have space for that as well. And then we've also ramped up our class schedule for adults. We have many active older adult classes with Stay Strong and Shine and Bar. We also have adult aquatics classes. And we still have our lap swim. Plus, our whole facility is open. So,
right.
You know, you can still come in and I'm sorry, what?
Yes, I'm just going to break in for a moment because as happens occasionally with me as a volunteer host at KRFY, I read ahead in my outline and sort of jump the gun. So you started telling us about everything at Lighthouse YMCA, but I think it would be nice if we could take one step back and find out just a little bit about you, and then we'll continue on with what's happening. So tell us a little bit about you and then also how you came to be at Lighthouse. And I apologize to listeners for a somewhat backing up that we're doing.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Thank you very much for that because I'm a fairly new member to the community and I've really enjoyed being here. I feel so blessed to be in such a beautiful area. I came here to be the branch executive of this location. Back in December of 2018, I moved here to open up this Y, and my husband moved here 6 months later, and we just bought our first little condo here about 5 months now. So we're permanent residents here and really enjoying the area. I've been with the Y since 2009. And just kind of moved up the ranks. So when this position was offered to me, I jumped on it because I love the area. I am from Spokane, but have vacationed in this area for many, many years. And so was just thrilled to, you know, spend the rest of my career with the Y up here at this new Lighthouse YMCA. And I'm just really enjoying it and loving the community and really looking forward to, you know, what the Y can bring to the community and just be a part of what we do here, which is, you know, be a part of the outdoors. And I mean, this is such a strong, supportive community that, you know, I cannot believe the partnerships that happen here. And so I'm just so thankful to be here. I love it.
That is great. Thank you for telling us a bit more about yourself. And I think we'll continue with our other guests and then move back to the programming. So let's move on. And Charles, you've been a guest here on KRFY Morning Show before, but why don't you just give us a brief bit of history about you, background, and how you came to be involved in cycling?
Well, I've been living in the area since 1996 and working remotely in the environmental consulting field initially, and cycling all along. And more recently in 2014, I opened up a bike shop, Syringa Cyclery, which is now located on the corner of Oak and Sixth. And I've been involved with I'm on the board of the Pondre Peddlers, local bike club, which this year has just really blossomed into a very active trail building group, and we've been doing a lot of trail building this year, COVID notwithstanding. So yeah, that's basically my background in the area.
Very good. And we appreciate you being in the area and enjoy your bike shop. And finally, Gary, tell us a bit about you, how you came to be here in Sandpoint, and how you became involved with Panhandle Pickleball.
Sure. First, I'm a former educator. I taught high school in the inner city in Los Angeles for about 28 years. I've taught overseas in places like China, where I taught right after the Cultural Revolution. So that was interesting. I came here from Portland, where I actually learned how to play pickleball. Portland's got this amazingly vibrant, energetic community of pickleball players. And coming here, though, I came here about 35 years ago, not staying here, but riding my bike across country. I came here through on Highway 2, riding across the country on a bicycle, ended up on City Beach, and found it such a beautiful place that I had to come back. I have family here as well. But so I started playing pickleball in Portland, and then came here to look for a pickleball community here.
So what interested you? How did you become interested in pickleball and associated with it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've played a lot of sports, a lot of racket sports as well. And I was living in Portland, and a buddy of mine who's kind of a pickleball guru said, you got to come down and play this sport. And I went down to the courts with him. I watched people play. And I have to be honest, when I saw the game played, I thought it was kind of silly. I don't know if anybody else has seen the game, but it's played on a smaller court, much smaller than a tennis court. And we play with kind of a wiffle ball, a ball that has holes in it. And it's a funny looking game, but I started playing, and I was immediately, I don't know, like Julie, I was immediately hooked, and now it's my addiction. If I could play every single day, I'd be out there playing.
Yeah, it's a common problem for all of us sporting enthusiasts. Charles's is cycling, Phil's is long distance hiking, and mine may just turn out to be pickleball along with Gary.
Let's go back and hear a little more from Tammy. I think there were more programs and activities you, as you were going through them, you had to talk about.
Well, thank you. We have a lot going on right now. I really would just encourage your listeners to, come on in and take a look around and see if, there's something here for you, because there's usually something for everyone at the Y. And we have everything from, yoga classes to dance classes, swim, lap swim, aquatics, aerobics classes. You know, we have a little bit of everything. In fact, we even have outdoor pickleball. So, you can even come here and play pickleball outside. So, we have racquetball courts that are used for, that can also be squash and handball courts. So we really do have quite a bit besides just being a workout facility, because we obviously also have the workout equipment and cardio equipment upstairs too. So I really would just encourage listeners to come in and take a look around and see all the extra measures we're taking to keep everybody safe. And, all the extra cleaning that we're doing, my poor staff, we've all decided that besides being trainers and swim instructors, we're also custodians right now. So, everyone's doing a bit of cleaning these days. But, we really would love to see more of the community come in and participate in some of these programs.
Tell us a little more about the precautions you're taking beyond the cleaning and sanitizing. What are the other things you're doing in light of the COVID pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. So, we've always kept a really clean facility. I think most of our members can attest to that. But now we actually have cleaning schedules. So our lifeguards, when they are down off stand, they're going through and they're disinfecting locker rooms and the pool area. And our wellness instructors are going through and disinfecting all the equipment. We've also added many, many cleaning stations so that our members, who have been wonderful, by the way, in helping, participate in this disinfecting and keeping COVID low. We haven't had, knock on wood, we have not had any cases here so far. So, we are doing a really, we're working really, really hard to make sure that we keep everybody safe. And so, and then we have our custodial company that comes in and, they disinfect everything again at night so that it's, ready first thing in the morning. And, I do have to give one little shout out to Insight Restoration, because we are hosting the high school swim meet tomorrow. And we've taken extra precautions for that as well. We can't have spectators inside. And so we're going to be streaming it for outside. But InSight Restoration after that swim meet is also going to come in and disinfect our whole area that has been used. So to make sure that we still have a real clean environment for our members on, you know, Sunday. So, you know, again, it's just wonderful to work with a community that is so willing to pitch in and make sure that it's safe for everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, so very good. And while we're just talking briefly about COVID, we all have work to do around COVID. Charles, are you taking special precautions within your shop?
Yes, we have. So we obviously we have a screen in front of our register area for transactions. We have disposable masks available for and signage on the doors, encouraging people to social distance, wear masks, and if they don't have masks, we offer disposable ones to them. And people have been really good, you know, for the most part, people come in wearing masks. If they don't have one, they look at the sign and then they go back to their car and grab their mask. So we've been, it's been working pretty well and we've been busy the whole time. So yeah, it's cleaning, doing a lot more cleaning than I usually do, wiping things down, counters, handles, all that kind of stuff. And it's been working pretty well.
Yeah, and I know that at the Panhandle Pickleball Club, special measures are being taken too, lots of cleaning and lots of fresh air, et cetera. Anything to add to that here?
Yeah, and we're keeping our numbers low. We're not packing our facility with people. We're sanitizing after play and before play. So yeah, we're doing the same things.
Yeah, good. Well, Tammy, anything to add, or shall we move on and ask Charles about fall biking opportunities?
Well, I would like to add just one last thing, which is along the lines that we were just talking about with keeping numbers low. We have implemented a new registration system for all of our classes to make sure that we don't end up with too many people in our buildings. That would be the one thing I'd like to add is that if you do want to take a class or you do want to sign up for swim, you do need to sign up for that on our website so that we don't have too many people in the building. Just like what you guys said, you know, masks are a requirement in our building in the common areas, but while you're working out or swimming, you do not need to wear a mask. But yeah, those extra precautions I think are going a long way in our community. So just want to, you know, say a big thank you to everybody that is wearing their mask to try and keep our community safe.
Thank you.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, all right. Well, Charles, what's going on in fall? So many types of cycling happen in Sandpoint. What are the best ones for this time of year?
Well, under normal circumstances, this is in terms of bicycle racing, this is cyclocross season, which is fall and winter typically. We used to have a series with a bunch of Montana cities, which isn't operating anymore anyway. And there's another one, the Inland Northwest Cyclocross Series, which is based in Spokane, and lots of cyclocross racing in the region. That's been canceled for this year because of COVID. But you know, the shoulder season, as it were, for cycling is actually pretty good. You know, it's nice to get out on a road bike or a gravel bike in the fall weather. You know, sometimes it's a little rainy, but you know, the fall colors are nice. It's a little cooler, not quite as dusty as it is in late summer. And it's also a good time to, you know, if you're putting your bike away, to think about doing some maintenance in the winter. That's a good time, you know, rebuilding shocks, that kind of thing is a good winter time activity. It typically, if you're sending it in to get done, it takes a couple of weeks. So you don't want to have your bike without your bike during the summer for that kind of stuff. And then biking just around the corner, which is becoming very active around here. Pine Street Woods is going to be grooming again this year, some fat bike specific trails, along with the Nordic ski trails that will be groomed. So get your bike, fat bikes ready for winter.
Are there places because of the change in season that shift and become better or less desirable? I'm thinking higher elevation as cold and snow sets in versus lower elevation, or trails that are better able to handle the rain and mud than others?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of the high, there's a lot of great high country mountain biking around here. And, you know, this time of year, those people are still riding them, but pretty soon it's going to be snowed in or just too cold. And then, you know, there's also a lot of hunting going on in the backcountry. So that's something to think about, you know, if you're out in the boonies riding your bike. But, you know, down low, the Syringa trails and the Pine Street Woods trails, Gold Hill, Mineral Point, you know, those are pretty rideable, pretty late into the season. So those are good venues. Road riding, gravel riding, all the time, really.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that fall is a little quieter time when the tourists have left? Is that happening anymore?
It's a little more relaxed. Not as many cars on the road, not as many people on the trails also. This year with COVID, the trails seem to be busier than usual because there were a lot of people coming from Washington specifically to Idaho, because a lot of the Washington trail systems were closed to the public, and they were coming and using our trails, which is great, but you know, we had a lot of pretty big tourist influx this year too. A lot of people on the trails this year, and that sort of tends to die down this time of year. So it's kind of nice for the locals to get out there and take advantage.
I would like to come back to COVID and biking just for a moment, because from time to time I'll see a group of bikers and some are wearing masks. They're in the outdoors. Is there something we need to know about cycling and COVID?
I would say it's not a bad idea to wear a mask. You know, if you're biking in a group, you got to think about social distancing. You're exerting yourself, so you're breathing heavier, you're, you know, sweating, whatever. So it's something to think about. And there are masks that you can wear that are pretty breathable that I think get the job done.
So Charles, you're also involved with the number of groups that have fall activities and events going on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of those?
Yeah, so the Pondre Peddlers, that's the local bike club in town. It's a trail building group. We also do events. For instance, last year we started what was called the Basin Fest, and it was first weekend in June, up at the roundabout on Schweitzer Mountain Road, which was a trail building and barbecue and bike demo event, essentially. This year, it was postponed because of COVID, and we are instead doing kind of a Basin Fest Unfest this weekend, actually, on Sunday. Going to be quite pared down. We're not going to have any bike demos or anything like that, no vendors. It'll be a trail maintenance and building. We're going to be building some bridges on the lower basin trails, and then having kind of a simple barbecue afterwards. Starts around 11 o'clock, meeting up at the roundabout, and then working our way down the trail, doing some maintenance, and then having a barbecue around 2 o'clock or so. We're trying to keep it sort of low key and not necessarily have a lot of people there. We're going to be practicing social distancing, wearing masks when we cannot social distance. And it should be good. So that's kind of the sort of our year-end trail building effort. And then we have a year-end peddler's party, which I don't recall what date that is. There's also going to be something up at Pine Street Woods, which the Sandpoint Nordic Club is organizing, Welcome Winter event, October 24th. And I believe it's going to be outdoors, kind of centered at the, you know, the lodge up there, where different people come and talk about what activities are in store for the winter, Nordic skiing, fat biking, what the various clubs, the bike club and the Nordic club are doing for winter activities up at Pine Street Woods and elsewhere.
Well, it hardly seems the end of October like winter yet, but it's good to be thinking ahead, especially if someone's new and hasn't gotten out before on cross-country skis or snowshoes or a fat bike. Is that a good way then to find out a little bit more about how to engage in those?
Yeah, that would be a perfect event for people who are new to whatever, whether it's Nordic skiing, fat biking, snowshoeing, to come and see what there is to offer.
Right. Well, quite a bit going on, Charles. And if listeners would like to learn more about either Basin Fest or about the event up at the Nordic Lodge, how would they best contact you or them?
For the Sandpoint Nordic winter event on October 24th, I would go to the Sandpoint Nordic Club website, which I think is just sandpointnordic.com. I don't know offhand. Can Google it, probably find that. There'll be information on there. Pondere Peddlers has a website, pondrepeddlers.org. Lots of information on their calendar and upcoming events and ways to donate and that sort of thing. There's also, we're also on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Well, what a lot of fun bicycling events into fall and winter. We don't have to quit cycling even when it snows with fat bikes out there. So thank you for filling us in, Charles Mortensen of Syringa Cyclery. And last but not least, we're back to pickleball, Phil.
I know. And I can't wait. I want to hear all about it.
I see the anticipation on your face. So Gary, we're back to you, and as we've already talked a bit about pickleball and its gaining popularity, but can you help us understand why it is so appealing? What makes it appealing to people?
Yeah, well, obviously it's appealing. I've read this over and over, so it has to be true. It's the fastest growing sport in the country, and honestly, it's appealing because it's just so much fun. It's just a fun game. I played a lot of sports, and this is about the most enjoyable one I've ever played. It's accessible to almost everyone, and it's really popular. Its growth has been partially due to middle-aged and older people, really, because it's a smaller court. It's not like a tennis court where you have to run all over the place. So you don't have to run as much, and yet there's still a lot of dynamic movements. You're batting the ball around. So it's accessible to older people. It's fun. Younger people are now coming into the sport. We have, across the country, I've been doing some research on PE curriculums and seeing that kids are actually being taught pickleball. So the next generations are coming. One of the interesting things is we have right down the street or down the road here in Hayden, we have the Selkirk Pickleball Paddle Company, and they're one of the premier companies in the country. So we have this local support from them. But it's really a lot of fun. I think it fits with all age groups. It's very social, maybe because the court's so small, but it has that social aspect to it. You can play at a casual level. You can play at a highly competitive level. We have people that have been professional athletes who are playing pickleball with us. So there's a variety of levels. So it's got that appeal to it.
So it's really moved beyond its original description that I heard of as boomer tennis for retired people.
It has. And, still, at this point here, I'd say our our club is mostly, you know, middle-aged and older people. But if you go down to Coeur d'Alene, go to Portland, and you're seeing kids, young kids playing, and it's starting to boom because it is a blast.
We've mentioned the Panhandle Pickleball Club, and like the YMCA, that is a membership club, so you do pay to play there. But there are a few other places a person could play in Sandpoint. Why don't you tell us about those?
Yeah, Lakeview Park, there are three public courts there, so that's a great place to play. So if you, it's free if you want to go down there and play. I don't know, Tammy, if the YMCA offers free courts, but I know they used to before the pandemic. They have two.
Yeah,
so
we
can go
still
to the
do.
YMCA and play.
Good.
Yeah. And so those are the two main places. The YMCA is a great place to play. I love their courts. Lakeview Park. It's amazing how many people are actually building courts in their own backyard. So I know about five or six people that have courts.
And some condo developments would have them, but you would have to, of course, live in those developments.
Yeah.
So while it's often compared to tennis, the scoring is different and some of the basic rules are different, aren't they? Tell us a little about those four or five or six essential rule differences.
Yeah, we play to 11. The point total, we play to 11. There's some minor differences. It's more like kind of like a ping pong tennis game. It's real quick. There's a whole lot of rules that I could get into and take a lot of time that we don't have, but it's a simple game. It's essentially easy to start and play, but it's the court is similar to a tennis court, but just much smaller.
Right. And Gary, tell us about some of the forms of play or types of things that happen between pickleball players. What I'm getting at is like clinics, tournaments. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
That sort of
thing. And let me step back for a second and just say, I belong to the Panhandle Pickleball Club. We're talking about seasons. Somebody asked me, how late can you play in the season? You can play until it's too cold to play. I've played in 30 degree weather. As long as there's no snow on the courts, you can still play. The fortunate thing for us is that we have a facility that's indoors in town where we play. And so we get to play 12 months out of the year. We're always playing. The interesting thing is that our summer months is the slowest, because people are outdoors playing at the Y, or they're playing at Lakeview, or they're riding bikes. But it'll start ramping up now as the weather gets colder. We're going to get busier and busier.
So if someone's listening and they've never heard of pickleball before, but all of a sudden they're going, wow, that sounds right for me, what's their next step? How do they get started?
Well, if they wanted to, access our club, they could contact us at the Panhandle Pickleball Club. And I've got a couple, Panhandle Pickleball Club, you can find us. We have a membership chairperson. Her name is Diane Smith. And I'll just give you her information. Her email address is Diane_Smith. So I'll give that to you. Diane underscore Smith, SMITHMFT @yahoo.com. Or they can just go to the panhandlepickleclub.org and we'll set them up and introduce them to the club and into pickleball.
Are there beginner classes? This is a question for Tammy as well, but Gary first. Gary, are there beginner classes at your club, and then Tammy at the Y?
So this is what we have. We have, and we're a club that's a nonprofit club, so it's the club members that dictate what we do. So we do offer sessions, play sessions that are open sessions. So they're beginners, intermediate players. Then we have advanced sessions. We do drill and practice sessions so that people can hone their skills. We have clinics. So there's lots of opportunity for newer people, or people that don't even know how to play. They contact Diane and we'll show them around and show them how to get started.
Very good.
So well, Tammy, are there beginner classes at the Y?
Well, ours is really more just open courts. So it's really just open to our community for them to come in and play. We currently don't offer any structured classes or times for certain levels of play. So it really is just an open court system right now.
Okay. Well, anything else to add, Gary, about pickleball?
No, I'm just going to go back to the idea that it's a lot of fun. So people should check it out.
Very good. Well, as we come to an end of this week's Community Conversations, I'd just like to ask for any concluding comments from first Tammy.
Well, again, thank you for having me on, and we really look forward to having our members back. You know, we're a little low in our membership right now because of COVID, so we'd really love to see some of these people come back and participate in these programs. We have a lot going on right now, so I just strongly encourage everybody to stop by and take a look at all the safety measures that we're taking and also check out some of our new programs and new classes that we're offering.
Very good. And Charles, we've heard a bit about what cyclists can do in the fall. Anything you'd like to add?
Well, also thank you for having me on, and just keep pedaling and stay active and stay safe.
There you go. And Gary, we've kind of gotten a conclusion from you, but anything you'd like to add?
No, just to recommend people to contact us if they're interested in the sport, and that's it.
All right. Well, Phil, this has been a really great show because we've gotten some ideas about how to stay active in the fall changing weather.
The great thing is all of these activities can be done in groups, but also in very small groups or as an individual. And we are blessed with a lot of outdoor space, with a lot of outdoor lifestyle type activities that can be done with social distancing in mind. So get out there and enjoy these waning days before we hit the snow and we start doing snow sports and you can get out there again.
So true. Well, I'd like to thank our guests this morning who have been Tammy Campbell, the branch executive of Lighthouse YMCA, Charles Mortensen, owner of Syringa Cyclery, and Gary Scruggs, board member from Panhandle Pickleball Club. This has been ARFY Community Conversations. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again next week.